This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So it's after Fajr, alhamdulillah. We're in the beautiful city of Samarkand. And this is a city that has been built and destroyed many times. Before the era of Islam and after the era of Islam. And sadly, some of the destruction has been also at the hands of Muslims against each other. And today, we're going to continue with the series that we began yesterday, where we began in Tashkent with a reflective dhikr series, where I'll mention to you three dhikr of the Prophet ﷺ that he would make in his mornings, and how they are things that we can continue to use in our life, inshallah. So the first dhikr is the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Yesterday we spoke about Ayatul Kursi, but now we speak about the treasure from the Arsh of Ar-Rahman. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith narrated by Imam al-Nasa'i, and Imam al-Nasa'i is one of the people of these lands, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted the Prophet ﷺ on the day of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And some of the ulama of tafsir, they say that out of the entirety of the Qur'an, there's only very select verses that were given to the Prophet ﷺ directly in communication from Allah to the Prophet ﷺ. And these are the two verses that are established in the Sunnah that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَمَّا عُرِجَ بِي, when I was ascended to the heavens, I was given وَعْطِيْتَ مِنْ كِنْزَ الْعَرْشِ, I was given from the treasure of the Arsh of Ar-Rahman, two verses. The one who recites them, kafathu, the one who uses them as a spiritual curing and healing and protection, it suffices them. And they asked, what is it, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Khawatim al-Baqarah, the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Now I want to give you the context of these two verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the third last verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is a discussion where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet and the Sahaba that what is within them is something they're accountable for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, to Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ, whether you make a declaration and show what is inside you or you conceal it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable. فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, some He may pardon and some He will hold accountable in punishment. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, and Allah is capable of all things. When this was revealed, the Sahaba said to the Prophet ﷺ, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, قَدْ جَاءَكَ مَا لَا نُطِيقُ, نَزَلَ عَلَيْكَ مَا لَا نُطِيقُ, descended upon you now, arrived to you now, is what we cannot withstand. How can I live, O Messenger of Allah, knowing that even what's in my heart, Allah is going to hold me accountable to it? I didn't say the word, I thought it. I didn't do the action, I just thought about it. And that meant that the Sahaba immediately took the worst case scenario. They didn't think of Allah's mercy. They didn't assume that Allah will be the one who يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, meaning the majority of you. وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, is those who are the most wicked of you, who had malice in their heart, not just intent. So the Prophet was quiet. And at Al-Isra, Allah answered this. And the Prophet said to the Sahaba, هَلَّا قُلْتُمْ, perhaps when you heard this verse, shouldn't you have said, Oh Allah, forgive us if we make a mistake. Oh Allah, forgive us if we are put to test. Oh Allah, shouldn't you have taken the best opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is where you get that other hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with his servant the way his servant thinks of him. That what you think of Allah as happening from Allah to you, coming to Allah from you, is what you will receive from Allah. If you believe Allah will be generous and merciful and kind and compassionate to you, then you will receive that from Allah. But if you feel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's going to be strict with you, going to question you, not going to give you any space and comfort and mercy, then expect the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Allah reveals to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه. The Prophet has demonstrated trueness of faith. What is this trueness of faith? That Allah loves His creation. and Allahu arhamu bi'ibadi. Allah is more merciful to His creation than they are for themselves. If I was to ask you to judge yourself, it'll be more strict than Allah would have judged you, subhanAllah. Allah will give you more mercy than you would give your own self. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. The believers then followed it because they hadn't learned that lesson. It wasn't instinctive in my heart, your heart, to have complete trust of Allah. والمؤمنون. They learn it after the Prophet ﷺ. كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا. This is where this point comes to them. يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, say to them, سمعنا وأطعنا. That I've said to you, remove hatred from your heart. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Remove malice from your heart. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Oh Allah, forgive us, and to you is our return. Then Allah teaches us how to invoke. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. The Sahaba, what you should have said was, oh Allah, don't hold us accountable if we have forgotten an injunction you've asked of us, or if we have made a mistake. And subhanAllah, sins are of a variety of categories as classified in the Qur'an. There is, sayyi'ah and khati'ah and qamah. There is ithm, udwan. There is bulm. All these different categories. And Allah chooses two particular ones. Naseena aw akhtana. Oh Allah, if we have forgotten. And subhanAllah, jalla man la yansa. Only the sublime Allah is the one who does not forget. أخطأنا, all of us are prone to it, with the word of the Prophet ﷺ, كل ابن آدم خطاء. Every human being was created with the capacity to make mistakes. And خطأ means that you do something you know you shouldn't do, but you fell prey to your soul and to the desire that you have, so you made a mistake that you want to return back from it. It is not a constant in your life. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Oh Allah, don't burden us with the burdens that have been sent upon the people before us. SubhanAllah, our faith is easy. Look at how we've been in our journey, how adaptive our salah has been. Pray Maghrib with Isha. Shorten your dhuhr with your asr. You can delay your dhuhr because of the inconvenience of being on the train until asr time has come in, and pray the dhuhr and asr joined and shortened. Adaptability. We prayed on the plane Salatul Dhuhr, and then some of us said, oh no, we're going to get there for Asr. You prayed Dhuhr and Asr when you arrive. There is so much wisdom and leniency and ease in our deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compels us to take that as something of practice. إِنَّ سِينَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Don't burden us in the way others have been burdened. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Oh Allah, don't place upon us what we cannot withstand and uphold within ourselves. And subhanAllah, notice that in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says later on in the verse that I will never burden you with something you can't withstand, because you're asking Him for that. And one of the great du'a of that you find in this surah is that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unburden you. I have my burdens, I have my wisdom, I have my things that are on my shoulder that I carry and walk with in life, as do all of you. And Allah promises us that no one will carry the burden of another. No one will have the share of another person's burden. And that's the meaning of this ayah. لَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Oh Allah, don't make me accountable for other people's actions. Don't make me a burden for what somebody else who I love has done and made a mistake in their life. Oh Allah, treat me as an individual. I will do my best. Forgive my mistakes. Forgive my forgiveness. And let me be from those that inshaAllah you will pardon and forgive. And this is a vow that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeks from us to invoke Him for His mercy, for His rahmah, for His maghfirah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these two verses are therefore a treasure that we're given. The Prophet ﷺ says a number of hadith about them. One of the authentic hadith collected by Imam Abu Dawood, who is also from the lands that we're visiting, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that no one recites these two verses illa kafatu, except it suffices him. And the Imams, when they say suffice, they said it means in everything in their life. Suffice is something that protects you from something befalling you before it arrives. It's not that it suffices you that now I'm in a problem, oh Allah help me. It means it is a preventative medicine that a person takes. It's your way of shielding yourself from that which is to befall us. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا. Three words that mean the same thing, but when you put them together, they mean three different things. وَاعْفُ الْعَفْو, it means that you have uprooted it from its root. So if you were to look, you know, at grass or something, it's what is apparent is on the top, but its root is actually where it grows and where it stems from, where it comes from. So when you have afw, it means that you pulled the thing out from the root. So you're saying, oh Allah, give me afw, remove my sin from its root, take it out of my heart, take it out of my practice, and remove it entirely from my record as if it is stricken and has never been lifted. وَعْفُ عَنَّا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Ghufran is a level under afw. And therefore on the night of Laylatul Qadr, you ask Allah not for maghfirah, but for afw. Allahumma innaka afu tuhibbu al-afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are the pardoner, you're the one who uproots the sins completely. This is what I seek of you. But if not, then give us maghfirah. Maghfirah means to cover something. So my head, it's covered with a hat. The word for armor or a helmet in Arabic is mikhfah. So when you wear a battle armor, ghaffartu nafsi, I've covered myself with protection. But it means that what is still there remains. So my sin is still there, but Allah's covered it up. What is it that Allah covers it up with? My good deeds. Oh, when you ask Allah for maghfirah, you make istighfar, you're saying, oh Allah, give me time to earn good deeds, to cover up these sins, to wash over them, that they're hidden from my account. وَعْفُ عَنَّا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا. The rahmah of Allah wasi'at kulla shay. Subhanallah. The mercy of Allah is more expansive than any shay, anything that is in existence. So there's nothing that you can I that can envision, whether nasina aw akhtana, whether it is isran, whether it is burden, whatever it is that is in your life, rahmatuhu wasi'at kulla shay. His mercy is more expansive than all things. So therefore it comes back to the Sahaba. Why did you have that understanding of Allah? And therefore this was something that cured their hearts. The Sahaba, there's few verses in the Quran where they say when this was revealed, there was nothing more beloved to us than it. And this is one of those sets of verses. There's a couple of verses in the Quran where the Sahaba said when we understood their meaning, it changed everything in our life. It made us understand the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, in your morning and in your night, the Prophet ﷺ recommends for us to recite the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. They have been given different titles by the ulama. Some of the ulama have called it Al-Munqidha. It's something that saves you. It's salvation. It is As-Sitr. Some of the ulama called it the veiling, where you veil yourself from the punishment of Allah. You veil yourself from the envy of others. You veil yourself from the sins and wickedness that may be in your own heart. All of those are allusions of these two particular verses. The second dua that was made by the Prophet ﷺ in his mornings and his night is أصبحنا على فطرة الإسلام وكلمة الإخلاص وعلى دين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى ملة أبينا إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين. The Prophet ﷺ would say in his morning, أصبحنا على فطرة الإسلام. We have risen to the natural inclination of submission to Allah. You know, the birds that are chirping and the things that surround us, they have a natural inclination to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith of Imam Muslim, who's also from the lands that we're visiting, that if you trusted Allah and relied upon Allah the way a bird does, you would not find any difficulty in your life. The bird wakes up in the morning at dawn hungry. These birds that we're going to drop bread or something, you know, is going to come out of you, whether intentionally to feed it or not, they're going to be sufficed by Allah. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. There's no animal, no beast that walks the earth or flies in its heavens or is a fish in its oceans except upon Allah is its rizq. And Allah knows its place of rest, knows its coming and its going, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those are powerful statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it engenders within us asbahna ala fitra al-Islam. Your natural inclination when you wake up as a believer should be submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is in complete and total charge of the dominion and its creation. The good that arrives to you is from Allah. The hardship that arrives to you is from Allah. And that Allah is in control in all that is in between. From the things you perceive as good to the things that you don't, all of it is always good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a part of the aqidah of a believer, that there is nothing that is created and engendered by Allah in His creation except that it has more good khayr than shar. Nothing. Even Iblis had more khayr in him than shar. And part of the khayr of Iblis is me combating him and coming to faith, so it earns me a place of Jannah at his expense. Alhamdulillah. There is khayr in his creation, even if there is evil in his action. And therefore, asbahna ala fitrat al-Islam. We rose to an inclination of Islam. Fitra, another word that the ulama makes synonymous with the word intention, niyyah. And therefore, your fitra and niyyah, it's as if the Prophet is saying, I woke up to make my niyyah to be submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when the day comes, I'm going to submit for salah. When the time comes to choose food, I'm going to choose the halal. When I come to invest or to earn an income, it's going to be in halal. Allahumma ghnina bi halalika an haram, wa ghnina bika amman siwa. Of the dua of the Prophet narrated by Imam Muslim, O Allah, I ask you for the halal that turns me away from the haram, and to be enriched by your presence in my life that turns me away from anyone other than you, O Allah. Asbahna ala fitrat al-Islam. That's the fitrah of a Muslim. Wa kalimat al-ikhlas. And we say the word of sincerity to Allah. And therefore, to say the word, even in the heart, it might not be complete sincerity, is a part and parcel of our faith. So ikhlas, it is a kalima, and not just a belief, and not just a feeling. And this was one of the central issues of aqidah that Imam al-Bukhari was persecuted for. About the nature of the Qur'an and the creation of the Qur'an, and are the words and actions of people their own, or are they created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their creation? And we're going to study that as we get to Bukhara, which is where that fitna happened with an Imam al-Bukhari. He wrote a book called Khalqu Af'al al-Ibad, The Creation of Allah for the Actions that His Creation Performed. And it's a wonderful book on aqidah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari was a master of aqidah. He wasn't a muhaddith, but he was a master of aqidah, he was a master of fiqh. He was a person who was mujtahid mutlaq. He needed no one's madhab to follow. And although one of his teachers is Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and the Hanbali scholars claim Al-Imam al-Bukhari as one of their own, so do the Shafi'i, so do others. Everyone wants a part of him because he mastered every field. And you want to have him associated with your school of practice. But part of it is that your statement of La ilaha illallah, even though in your heart it may not, you don't have that complete ikhlas, that statement should not be withheld. You shouldn't say, I'm not going to say it until I'm, you know, I have that entirety of conviction and so on. Rather, it's قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ and continue to repeat it, continue to pray, continue to be devout. And iman grows in the heart. And therefore, this concept of iman increasing and decreasing is entirely a principle of the principles of iman for the people of Ahlus Sunnah. That our iman continues to grow and at times it shrinks. And a part of our belief is to make the kalimat of al-ikhlas, the action of belief, the statement of iman increases our faith. Others have said kalimat al-ikhlas is the study of faith, which is what we're doing now. So what is it that reminds you of sincerity? Is hearing these words that remind us of Allah, that remind us of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad kalimat al-ikhlas wa ala deeni nabiyyina Muhammad. Notice how Allah and the Prophet are always linked together. So ikhlas is a condition of acceptability of practice, and then the next condition of your practice of worship has to be what? Conformity to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So therefore you woke up, you said, oh Allah, I'm going to submit myself as a Muslim. How do I do it? I'm going to have ikhlas to the kalima of La ilaha illallah. And how am I going to show this? وَعَلَى دِينِ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. Upon the practice of life of our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَعَلَى مِلَّةِ أَبِينَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And upon the principled way of Ibrahim, who was a believer, who never strayed from his monotheism and singling out only Allah in all aspects of worship. This is a statement of the Prophet ﷺ that he would make in the morning, and the Sahaba would be encouraged. It renews your constitution and faithfulness in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And very lastly, as I said yesterday, that the last one is always going to be about the salawat and the durood and the salam upon the Prophet ﷺ. Yesterday I shared that when you make salah and salam upon the Prophet ﷺ, it is a reflection of the dua you make for yourself. So today I share with you a hadith that is narrated by Imam Abu Dawood. It's an authentic hadith where Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu ardah. And Ubay ibn Ka'b isn't just an average man. He used to be a rabbi. And he used to be a scholar of faith in the Jewish tradition. And then he came to Islam. And when he came to Islam, you're not a scholar in your own faith, and then you come to Islam and you say, well, I don't care about learning. So then he mastered the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said for others, for our ummah to learn the Quran from other than himself, he labels Ubay ibn Ka'b as one of them. Ubay ibn Ka'b was given the gift of a beautiful voice, a beautiful tune from the tunes of Dawood alayhi salam. And notice how the Prophet mentions Dawood, because Ubay was from the Jewish tradition. It's a way of honoring his ancestry and his culture and his people. You've come from that line of prophethood and those who served God. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu Allah was a master of the Quran. My chain of narration in the recitation of the Quran goes through Ubay ibn Ka'b and Ali ibn Abi Talib. They are ones who are a foundation of the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ubay ibn Ka'b had a need, and it was a time of austerity and difficulty, and he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have a hajj, I have a need, and I can't do it for I have to ask Allah for it. And O Messenger of Allah, I thought that the best thing that I would do is that I'm going to include you in my invocations by asking Allah to bless you, that perhaps it will radiate back that Allah will bless me. So I'm going to make salawat upon you while asking Allah for what I want. So the Prophet said, if you do that, that's good. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm going to ask for 2/3 for myself and 1/3 for you. So I'm going to make 3 dua, 2 for me, 1 for you. And the Prophet said, that's khayr, but if you increase, it's better. He said, okay. Half and half. 50-50. One me, one you. And the Prophet said, that's good, but if you increase, it's better. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going to make all of my dua for you. I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm going to ask for what I want by asking Allah to give you what you want. And subhanAllah, the Prophet is reclining, he sits up, and he says, Idhan kufit. Then your need has been met. What you want for yourself will be met. And your protection is ensured. And your rizq is expanded. Everything that you wanted to ask for is going to be given. Why? Because you preferred someone else to yourself. It's not just about the note of the nobility of the Prophet ﷺ, but that in your heart, when you have hardship in your heart, and you prefer others at a time where other people are naturally more greedy for themselves, it shows your love for your fellow man. So Ubay ibn Ka'b retired to the salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he began to make his salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidun Majid. And then his needs were met. And that has become a tried and trusted method for alleviating harm, for being a person who enriches their health and their well-being. Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, he writes in the book that I mentioned to you yesterday, that of the things that assist you in times of difficulty is you remembering the difficulties that were faced by the Prophet ﷺ, and that inspires you to say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Subhanallah. On the day of Uhud, they broke his teeth. Subhanallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he didn't ask Allah to send the angels and just destroy them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They made him bleed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the only way to stop it was to put coal and ash to burn and cauterize it, and he still was merciful, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. you begin to think of the, you know, the difficulties that he experienced, and it makes you understand why he was so significant in my life and your life, and why we take our inspiration in happiness and in sorrow with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So continue with your salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu. It is the constitution of a believer to at least have 100 salah and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu, and I can guarantee you, wallahi, it will change your life. And the more salawat you make upon the Prophet sallallahu, with the knee of Allah protecting you, with the knee of Allah healing you, with the knee of Allah assisting you, with the knee of Allah increasing your rizq and protecting you from envy and jealousy and hasad and hatred, with the knee of building your home and completing your family, you find that this becomes a lifelong process that you will never leave it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his choicest blessings and peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and allow us to drink from his blessed hand, from Al-Kawthar. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwaleen, wa salli ala Muhammadin fil akhireen, wa salli wa sallim ala Muhammadin fil mala'i al-a'la, ya arhamar rahimeen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hopefully.